Minutes to seven, and foreign ministers from the world's leading economies will meet for a second day in London as part of the G7 summit. This is the first set of talks the nations have had face-to-face in more than 2 years. The G7 is made up of the UK, Canada, France, Germany, Italy, Japan and the United States. International relations with China and Russia have been top of the agenda for the group. Well, let's talk to Professor of Politics and International Relations at Kent University, Richard Whitman. Good morning to you, Richard. How important is it that the G7 is being held in the UK in terms of international post-Brexit relations?
Well, good morning. I think for the UK, it is very important because it's part of it working out and sort of finding a place for itself since it's left the European Union. So really, if you look at the UK's sort of big sort of place on the international stage, the G7 and the COP summit later this year are really the two flagship events for it.
And obviously, it's important for Britain to show its might. But really, in terms of big international issues, what are the main seven interested in?
Well, what the UK is trying to do is to steer it a bit more to take a focus on the so-called Indo-Pacific, which is shorthand way of saying a focus on China and the consequences of the rise of China, particularly within its region. So that's one of the things the UK is interested in, the US is interested in. But for this two-day meeting, they've really been focusing across China, but a range of other sort of conflict issues and difficult relationships, such as those with Russia.
Yeah, where does Russia come into all of this?
Well, Russia used to be a member of the G7, the so-called G8, but left the grouping after the invasion of Ukraine and then decided to leave formally. So, you know, it's a gathering now which is much more a gathering of democracies, liberal democracies, you know, what we might call the West, or used to call the West, and now very much focused on what it calls the rules-based international order, which basically means it's worried about those who want to challenge that order, like China and Russia.
But then in those terms, how constructive can these meetings actually be? Because if you are looking at it as being democracies or the West versus the East, can you come to any good arrangements in terms of Myanmar, Libya, Syria, where these are all sort of smaller conflicts playing out a bigger world order, aren't they?
They are. I mean, I think the best way to think about the G7, it's not a sort of organization like, you know, the European Union, which has got, you know, large resources and institutions, but it's a forum in which a group of like-minded countries gets together and pledges to do things in a coordinated way. And I think, you know, that's why the focus is now on China, how you can coordinate these countries, the G7 plus extra countries who were invited for a dinner yesterday evening, how they can be brought together on a sort of shared platform, pursued nationally, but coordinated together.
And I know this is not about trade per se, but are the relationships that are made at Lancaster House over these last 2 days, are they useful in terms of post-Brexit trade talks?
Well, it's, you know, it's a very sort of personal form of diplomacy. You know, if you contrast it with the European Union, 27 countries, you've got a much smaller group of countries involved. In this case, much smaller group of foreign ministers who get to know one another intimately and will often do sort of bilateral meetings on the side of things. So the personal chemistry absolutely does matter, and particularly when you've had, you know, a change of government as you've had in the US, it's an important moment for the UK to sort of, you know, build that personal relationship, in this case with the Foreign Secretary and the US Secretary of State.
Richard, thank you very much indeed for your time this morning. Professor of Politics and International Relations at Kent University, Richard Whitman.